This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah lets things be based on a wisdom. And He restricts events based on a wisdom. He releases events based on a wisdom. Same like Gaza today. One of the sisters was asking me on the weekend, our faith is being impacted because Allah is letting this happen. Allahu yaqbidu wa yabsut, my dear sister. Allah is the one who restricts and He releases. We have to go back to our tawheed, not disassociate ourselves with our tawheed. This shouldn't be a matter that makes our iman become weakened, but rather it should be a matter that strengthens our iman, that these prophecies were taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these matters of the end of time were revealed to us in the Quran, and now we're seeing it with the naked eye.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept from us our deeds thus far. Tonight is the 23rd night. What do you guys think? How's it feeling so far? Like it's the night? What do you guys think? It most likely can be, subhanAllah. The 23rd has had attributes to it in the past. And it is from the odd nights. And it most definitely could be Laylatul Qadr. So alhamdulillah, Allah has taken us through a lot. Alhamdulillah, we've prayed in jama'ah together. We've raised for a house from His houses together. Alhamdulillah. And now we will study from the Qur'an together. May Allah take us from strength to strength as the night progresses. Ameen. Subhanallah, the Meccan verses and the Meccan chapters, they're a potent dosage, wallah, when it comes to building iman. For those who followed the recitation today, those who understand the Arabic language, or those who might have read a translation of tonight's Taraweeh, the verses of tonight's Taraweeh, honestly, you can only deduce that the Meccan verses are indeed a potent dosage when it comes to iman building. And these were the verses that were revealed before Hijrah. Before Hijrah, this was a period of building iman, of building the hearts and the minds and the souls to a level whereby legislation could be accepted wholly as well. No questions asked. When you believe, then you accept. When you believe wholeheartedly, you accept wholeheartedly. And subhanAllah, even as a believer, when you go over the Meccan verses, it builds your iman further. Today we completed Surah Zumar, and I introduced it to you last night. And then we went into Surah Al-Ghafir, or Al-Mu'min. These are two names connected to the Surah. And then we began Surah Fussilat, as we heard in the recitation of Hafidh Dhakir. And tomorrow we will continue with Fussilat again. In terms of Surah Zumar, like we said last night, everything we said about the Surah last night continued into tonight's recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishing His oneness, and especially in His worship, but also in His lordship, subhanallah. And this whole idea of this surah being a sharh, an explanation, a middle explanation, meaning in terms of size, of the verse Iyyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek assistance from. If you understand the implications, the indications, the references, the lessons, the reminders, the pointers, the narratives in Surah Zumar, you can only conclude إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You can only leave the surah wanting to worship one Allah, because you will only leave it with the belief that the only one who can help you is Him. And if He is the only one who can help you, then who else should be worshipped? And we exactly say this in Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ.
That, Ya Allah, you alone do we worship, for you alone do we seek assistance from. Nobody can assist us but you. Allah establishes this, subhanAllah, with absolute divine eloquence in Surah Zumar. And I guess we should just go into the standout verses. And I have to say this just out of respect for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the ayat are standout. When we say standout, we mean in terms of what we can humanly take because of the time that we have together. Otherwise, every verse, subhanAllah, is a standout verse. And I'd like to go to verse 42. Or before that, for the sake of consolidation purposes, why not verse 41? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ لِلنَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. We discussed in Surah Yasin. And over the nights of Ramadan, we've been establishing this, that the truth stands by itself. And the messenger's job is to convey, not to convert. And the people's attitude towards the messenger has no bearing on the reality and the fundamental idea of the truth that is being posited and presented. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consolidates this for us in ayah number 41. Indeed, we send down to you the book for the people in truth. Bilhaq. It's in truth. Testimony from Allah. This Quran has been sent down by him in truth. For who? For the people. فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى. Whoever is guided, فَلِنَفْسِهِ. You will benefit yourself. Your guidance does not benefit Allah in any way. Your guidance does not increase His majesty. Your misguidance does not decrease His majesty. He, subhanahu, is perfect from ever. And is perfect forever. Your attitude towards Him has no defining reality in terms of who He is, subhanahu. فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى. If you want to be guided, فَلِنَفْسِ. It's for yourself. It's not for Allah. Allah is not benefiting from you. He is independent as Samad. You are the dependent one. You depend on as Samad. Allah is not sending you the book, sending you the messenger, as if He's begging you for Him. He's helping you for you. Because He only sets up His creation to succeed and not to fail. He only sets up His creation to succeed and not to fail. And in Surah Yasin, we saw how Allah said, the night will never overtake the day, and the day will never overtake the night. And the sun and the moon and their settings has been set. To the extent that today we can have this discussion, Eid will be on Wednesday. Out of respect for Allah, we say inshaAllah. But also recognizing Allah's law that the sun and the moon will not be set up for failure. And they remain on the path true to the guidance given to them by their Lord. Thus we can say Eid will be on a Wednesday. Allah sets everything up to succeed, including the creation that has a choice. Including the creation that has a choice. Because you have a choice, you got extra care. Messenger upon messenger. Book after book. And another book when mankind themselves changed and tweaked and edited the revelation that Allah sent them. And then He benefited you and set you up to succeed when Allah decreed that no prophet would come by revealing a book that will not come in written form, but a recited form, so that it can never be changed. Recited and preserved in the hearts of human beings by the will of Allah, true to the promise of Allah. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظٌ. We have revealed this book and we will preserve it. Its preservation is upon Allah till the day of Qiyamah. It will never be changed. This is a mercy from Allah. And this is further evidence that Allah sets up His creation to succeed. فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى. If you believe, if you learn, if you adopt, if you change, if you become guided, فَلِنَفْسِ. It is for you. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. This is again a universal principle. And whoever goes astray only goes astray to their own detriment. That's it. And then Allah reveals to the messenger, وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. For one moment, don't think that we have sent you as a manager over them. You're not a manager over them. You cannot control your team. This team cannot be controlled. You don't have absolute control. You have the ability to guide. You have the ability to convey. You do not have the ability to convert. Something has to come from them. They have to show Allah that in their heart is a desire. And if there is the desire in their heart, then Allah will water that desire. Allah will fertilize that desire. Allah gives you the choice. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ As we read every Friday in Surah Al-Kahf. Whoever wishes, believe. And whoever wishes, disbelieve. But whoever wants to believe, Allah will flower it for you. He will help you. You come to Allah walking, He'll come to you faster. You come to Him an arm's length, He'll come to you 2 arms length. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is of absolute arrogance when people lay blame upon Allah. They lay blame upon Allah when Allah only sets you up to succeed. That's verse 41. This consolidates everything, subhanAllah, we've been discussing. Verse 42. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the nafs. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Now the scholars of Islam have discussed across a long discourse regarding the nafs. Is it the same as the ruh? Is the nafs the soul? Or is the soul separate and the nafs separate? What is the relationship between the two? And to further introduce this topic, I take you back to Surah Al-Isra. I think I had traveled then. But in Surah Al-Isra, Allah reveals, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ They ask you concerning the soul. They ask you, O Muhammad, concerning the soul. Tell them, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي Tell them the soul is from the command and creation of Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And I have not been taught much about it except a little. Okay? So what's the little that Allah has taught us? Fast forward to Surah Az-Zumar. Allah has taught us in Surah Az-Zumar something about the soul. But before we discuss that, let's talk about the soul and the nafs. And the discourse is beyond the scope of this discussion. But to summarize it for you, the nafs refers to the soul connected to the body outside the womb of the mother. This is a nafs. That you are a soul in the world of the souls. Then you are a body growing in the womb of your mother. And then a time came where Allah sent the soul to your body. But even then you are not a nafs. When you were born and you breathed independently, living the life of this world, you are a nafs. So we have a body and we have a soul. Al-badan is the body. Al-ruh is the soul. When the ruh and the badan are together, you are a nafs. And in Surah Ash-Shams, Allah says, wa nafs wa ma sawaha. And the nafs wa ma sawaha, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creating it, shaping it, bringing it into existence. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا That Allah inspired this nafs to know fujur, what is sinful for it, وَتَقْوَاهَا And what is from taqwa for it. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا The ultimately, completely successful one is the one who purifies this nafs. This purification process can only happen in the life of this world. And this is further evidence that a nafs refers to the soul and the body together. In Surah Zumar, Allah teaches us something about the soul. He says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus, but He uses the term anfus. And by the way, further evidence to what I just shared with you is in the death of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For he passed away and his eyes remained open. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to his companion and shut his eyes. And he said to the Sahaba, إِذَا سَعَدَ الرُّوح He didn't say an-nafs. He said, إِذَا سَعَدَ الرُّوح When the soul departs. He didn't say when the nafs departs. Because now you have a body without a soul. He said when the soul departs, تَبِعَهُ النَّظَر The eyesight follows it. But why do the eyes remain open? Because the electricity has switched off. The soul is the electricity of the body. And how do we know this? From Surah Zumar. Allah says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Allah, this is from the little Allah has told us about the soul. Allah lifts the soul. Anfus here refers to the souls. Wallahu a'lam. Based on context and the discussion that I've just shared. Allah raises the soul completely at the time of death. At the time of death, or whoever has visited a person who's passed away, you would have noticed that their body is in front of you, their eyes are there, their ears are there, their mouth is there, their tongue is there, their heart's in place, their lungs are in, the blood's in the body. But when you speak to this person who's deceased, can they hear you? If you open their eyes, can they see you? The pupils are there, but can they see you? They can't. Why? The electricity switched off. Like any device you have, if the battery runs out, the button is there, the screen, everything is there, but it's not responsive. So the electricity is the soul of the body. The soul is the electricity of the body. Allahumma musta'an. The jet lag is still lagging, huh? The soul is the electricity of the body. Allah says, Allah lifts the soul completely at the time of death. Then He says, وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ. And as for the being that Allah has decreed won't die, Allah lifts the soul partially at the time of sleep. Subhanallah. Allah refers to this lifting as death. Have you ever thought why the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before sleeping is Alhamdulillah, Allahumma bismika, oh Allah, in your name, amutu wa ahya, I die and I live. Have you ever thought about this? Why do you say I die and I live? Oh Allah, in your name, I die and I live. Meaning I die the death of sleep and I live if you send the soul back to me. And when you wake up in the morning, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. All praises belongs to Allah who gave me life after giving me death. Which life and which death? The life of today after experiencing the death of last night. And then you say, and unto Him is our ultimate return. The day will come when the soul will be lifted and not be sent back. You teach yourself this, but our du'as are merely rituals, isn't it? We don't live the moment. But the du'a is a tarbiyah moment for us. This du'a we make when... If we slept knowing, subhanAllah, that we are going to die a partial death, honestly, who will sleep? But your body tires, it needs to rest. And when Allah lifts that soul, it's a mercy from Allah on you. Ask those who specialize in power naps. They have a power nap, subhanAllah, the soul being lifted just a moment, it gives such rest to the body. You wake up feeling refreshed, like you've slept for a long time, and you're ready to get on with it. And that is why the scholars say the easiest death is the death of a person when they're asleep. Why? Because half of the soul was lifted by Allah, and the other half by the angel of death. And Allah's lifting is far more merciful than the angel of death. The lifting of the angel of death is the lifting of the creation. And the lifting of Allah is the lifting of the Creator. So we see this in Surah Zumar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Also, sublime forgiveness, subhanallah. In Surah Zumar, there's the ayah known as the ayah of hope. If you ever ask this question, which is the ayah of hope in the Quran? It is ayah number 53 in Surah Zumar. This is known as the ayah of hope by the scholars of tafsir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, and this is a Meccan surah as well. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to my ibad, my servants, those who have transgressed themselves excessively. Asrafu, they were excessive in their transgression. They were excessive to the extent, subhanallah, that shaitan has every tool to push them to the realm of loss of hope. Say to them, O Muhammad, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Say to them to never ever and do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Subhanallah. And for those who understand the Arabic language, this idea of qunut, لا تقنطوا is not لا تيأسوا. Yes is loss of hope. لا تقنطوا is an extreme level of loss of hope. Allah is using the extreme here. That you could have been so excessive that you are beyond having lost hope. You are at the point of no return. Allah says, tell them, O Muhammad, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إن الله, indeed Allah, يغفر الذنوب جميعا. يغفر فعل مضارع, the present tense in the Arabic language, يقتضي الحال والاستقبال أو الحال والدوام أو الحال والاستمرار. The present tense in the Arabic language carries the meaning of something which is now and continuous. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ. Allah will continuously forgive all your sins wholesale, all together. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Subhanallah. Now these are Meccan verses, and the Quraysh are listening in the arrogant denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and His Book. What about the Muslims who hear these verses? What hope should we have? In a month of hope, when the doors of Jahannam are shut and the doors of Jannah are open, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. In a month of hope, in the nights of hope, on an odd night, La ilaha illallah. Surely, my dear brother and sister in Islam, it's as if Allah has... Subhanallah. What a qadr. On this night, we listen to this verse. That we engage Him with good thoughts about Him. Tonight, we ask Allah to forgive us and we wake up tomorrow believing as if our slates are how they were the day we were born. Inshallah. This is how we will trade with Allah tonight. We will read to Allah this verse 53 from Surah Zumar. And we will pray Fajr tomorrow having a new start. A new book. This is how the believers trade with Allah. Surah Zumar. And do it. For it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said in a hadith Qudsi, Yabna Adam, إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. That, O son of Adam, you sin throughout the day and throughout the night, but it is Allah who forgives all sins. فاستغفروني. Seek forgiveness from Allah. What does Allah say? He doesn't say, I will forgive you. He says, أغفر لكم. جواب شرط. For those scholars of usul al-fiqh, jurisprudence methodology, what does this mean? This means Allah is saying, seek forgiveness from me and consider yourself forgiven. Do not doubt, maybe I'm forgiven. Maybe I'm not forgiven. Maybe I'm partially forgiven. أغفر لكم. This is your Lord. Subhanallah. I introduce you to Allah through verse 53. Then Allah takes us to the end. Subhanallah. And the end, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is really the crux of Surah Zumar. And that is why it's called Az-Zumar. Because Allah tells us of these groups, inshallah, that we will listen to. I rather let the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reach you in the form of recitation. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا.
وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا.
And those who disbelieved will be driven to hell in groups.
حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا.
They will be driven to hell in groups until when they reach it, its gates are opened and its keepers will say, did there not come to you messengers from yourselves?
One second.
Remember, brothers and sisters in Islam, the discourse over the last few nights is what? They were actually telling the messengers that if your message is true, then why is this message coming to us from people who are from us, who are like us, who eat like us, sleep like us, drink like us? Allah is telling us what will happen on the day of Qiyamah.
that it will be said to them. The keepers will say, did there not come to you messengers from yourselves, reciting to you the verses of your Lord and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? You were told, the message came to you, the reminders came to you, they persisted with you. Now,
قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين.
نعم, Allah says they will say yes. They will say yes. In Surah Mulk as well, we have a similar discourse. They will say yes, but it's too late now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but the word of punishment has come into effect upon the disbelievers. نعم.
قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها.
It will be said to them, enter the gates of hell to abide eternally therein.
فبئس مثوى المتكبرين.
And wretched is the residence of the arrogant. Arrogant. Remember, we spoke from the time of Surah Al-A'raf. One of the obstacles that blocks us from Allah is arrogance. And Iblis's downfall was arrogance. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ I am better than him. What does Allah say here? That they will be destined to the hellfire because of their arrogance. Not because they didn't know. They knew. But they arrogantly overcame the truth. It was from their own doing. It wasn't that the messengers failed in their duty towards them. It wasn't that Allah didn't send miracles with the messengers to show them that we are like you, but look, we have these miracles, as we will see in Surah Ghafir, in the story of Fir'aun. As scholars have deduced from pondering over those verses that Fir'aun deep down knew. We'll come to that inshallah. Na'am.
وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا.
Subhanallah, imagine you're a disbeliever, the time of the Quraysh, the Quran's coming down, you hear these verses about Jahannam. Allah finishes and immediately says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. That these believers who you are mocking and laughing at and jeering and sanctioning and beating and ridiculing and punishing and sanctioning, Allah says, but those who feared their Lord, meaning the believers, they will be driven to paradise in groups. Na'am.
حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها.
Allah says, until when they reach it, whilst its gates have been opened. Now there's a difference here, subhanallah. When Allah spoke about Jahannam, He said, فتحت أبوابها. When He spoke about Jannah, He said, وفتحت أبوابها. This wow, subhanallah, is not misplaced. Just one letter. One letter, not a word, one letter. It has an impact on our understanding of the verses. That subhanallah, when it comes to the people of the hellfire, they will be driven to the doors and the gates of Jahannam. The seven gates of Jahannam. Jannah has eight gates, Jahannam has seven gates, as the scholars of Tafsir teach us. They will be driven to the seven gates, the gates will be shut. But when they're driven there, do you think they'll be driven there in a parade, or they will be driven there with force, with fear, with ferociousness? Now imagine you're driven with ferociousness and you know what's coming, and you just had your standing in front of Allah and you get to the gates and the gates are shut. How do you stand in front of the gates? Relieved or with greater trepidation? Subhanallah. But as for the people of Jannah, Allah says they will get there and the gates will be opened. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I don't know what that is, but maybe the verses are... Or perhaps somebody's playing with the wires in the control room. When it comes to Jannah, Allah says, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And the scholars have discussed this. And then they tapped into the hadith of Shafa'ah. Then on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for his nation, for the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the opening of paradise, that he will enter. And when the people come, they will be driven there with excitement, and an excitement that will be continuous. There's no roadblock.
It's not that I'm getting there, but the gates are shut. Subhanallah. That even the process of it being driven there is a paradise-centric process by itself. That it's, you understand it like this. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that for the people who believed, their paradise will begin before they get into paradise. That just the process of getting to paradise will be a form of paradise in and of itself. That they won't get there and feel, oh subhanallah, it's shut. I have to wait a minute to see it. I've been excited. I've been waiting for this. No, it will be welcoming for them. Just by one letter being in the verse, wafutihat, subhanallah. It's the power of the Quran. Na'am, tafadhal.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ
Subhanallah, a conversation happening in Jahannam with the keepers of the hellfire, and a conversation happening in Jannah with the keepers of paradise. What will the people, what will the keepers of paradise say? They will say, peace be upon you. The salam we would share amongst each other. That salam will be said to us by the keepers of Jannah. Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. Safety upon you. You have become pure. So enter into Jannah and abide therein eternally. Na'am.
وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض من نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين.
And they will say praise to Allah who has fulfilled for us His promise and made us inherit the earth so we may settle in paradise wherever we will. Wherever we will. No borders, no passports, no visas, no immigration, no customs, no shaitan. No worry about, will I wake up tomorrow and Allah will be upset with me. That is absolute paradise, subhanAllah. To know that my Lord will never ever be upset with me, just that in and of itself is a paradise. They will say, praise be to Allah who fulfilled for us His promise and made us inherit the earth so we may settle in paradise wherever we will. And excellent is the reward of the righteous worker. The righteous slave who acts. Subhanallah. So this is Surah Zumar in a nutshell. And then Allah takes us to another Meccan Surah, Surah Ghafir or Surah Al-Mu'min, which is a Surah consisting of 85 verses. And carries the same genre of knowledge as all the other Meccan surahs we discussed. But Surah Ghafir is unique. Because as you heard the Imam recite today, when he when the Imam started Surah Zumar, there was no disjointed letters before it. It was Tanzil al-Kitab. When Surah Ghafir kicks in, we see Hamim. And Hamim is one Hamim of the group of surahs known as Al-Hawamim. And Al-Hawamim refer to the Meccan surahs. And in a report that goes back to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, it states that the Hawamim, these Hawamim, they were revealed after Surah Zumar in order. And they are seven in number. Surah Al-Ghafir, Surah Fussilat, which we started tonight, Surah Ashura, which we will do tomorrow, Al-Zukhruf, number 4, Al-Dukhan, number 5, Al-Jathiyah, number 6, and Al-Ahqaf, number 7. Seven surahs, one after the other, all begin with Hamim. All Meccan surahs, and revealed after Surah Zumar. Subhanallah. So, as we travel, subhanallah, through the nights of the Quran, we can actually live the periods of the seerah. That these were intense moments. And the verses are coming down to deal with the moments that the Muslims are going through. That here you have Surah Zumar, and then seven consecutive surahs, dealing with matters of the hereafter, establishing the messenger as the messenger, affirming Allah as one in His lordship, and one in His worship, and one in His lords and attributes. Highlighting the reality that contrary to common opinion, there is life after death. And then the messenger is going through what he's going through. So, keeping him stable and steadfast. He's a human being. Revealing to him so he doesn't break. Remain strong. The journey is long. It's all in Allah's plan. Allah lets things be. based on a wisdom. And he restricts events based on a wisdom. He releases events based on a wisdom. Same like Gaza today. One of the sisters was asking me on the weekend, our faith is being impacted because Allah is letting this happen. Allahu yaqbidu wa yabsut, my dear sister. Allah is the one who restricts and he releases. We have to go back to our tawheed, not disassociate ourselves with our tawheed. This shouldn't be a matter that makes our iman become weakened, but rather it should be a matter that strengthens our iman, that these prophecies were revealed to us by the Prophet sallallahu, were taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these matters of the end of time were revealed to us in the Quran, and now we're seeing it with the naked eye. It's a matter that should strengthen our faith, and we go back to our tawheed, and we recognize who our Lord is. Wallahu yaqbidu wa yabsut wa ilayhi turja'un. It's Allah who constricts circumstances and he releases circumstances, and through it everyone will build their hereafter and they will return to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into their zumar, into their groups, and they will be driven an appropriate driving. So this is the start of Al-Ghafir. Now, what's its connection to Zumar? Remember we said earlier this idea of love, fear, hope. The story of the dove, as Ibn al-Qayyim described. And the two wings, one wing is of fear and one wing is of hope. Zumar delivers fear to the disbelievers, but Ghafir delivers hope to them. Imagine you're a disbeliever. You're reading Surah Az-Zumar. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. You have fear in you. Whether you like it or not, peer pressure, public opinion, for whatever reason you are not making the jump. But deep down you know that if this prophet is true, my end is going to be doom and gloom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts Ghafir with hope for the disbeliever. He says, قَابِلْ التوب. Subhanallah. غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. Subhanallah. The forgiver of the sins, the acceptor of repentances. This is your Allah. The Allah who will drive the disbelievers in groups to the hellfire. The same Allah will accept your Islam if you make the step. He will wipe out your previous deeds and your previous sins and the matters of your previous life. And Tawb here, subhanallah, is not Tawbah. Tawb is the plural of Tawbah. And Tawbah is for major sins. And Allah is not saying Tawbah, meaning a major sin, and you repent for it, and Allah forgives you. Allah is saying Tawb. He will accept all your repentances. That there's no limit to this. Irrespective of what you've done, the door is still open as long as you're breathing. So look at the balance that Allah also brings in terms of fear and hope, not just to the believers, but to the disbelievers. This is the Quran. Subhanallah, how deep can we go? لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. There is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and you will return to Him. This is the reality. طيب. The contents of the surah, it contains the knowledge that, like we said, fits the knowledge revealed pre-Hijrah. And in particular, it highlights the end of those who listen to the messenger, and the end of those who do not listen to the messenger, similar to Surah Zumar. It also inspires the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to exercise a beautiful patience. Like I said, when you read these surahs, it's like you're living the seerah now. You can really see that, subhanallah, when these surahs were coming down, the matter was severe on the believers. That these are really verses coming down at the earlier part of the prophetic mission. Things are difficult, things are tough, things are happening. The persecution is at an all-time high. Maybe not right at the beginning, but towards the beginning. Meaning, not at the end, before Hijrah. But at that point where really the Quraysh, they felt they had a hand on things. Allah is revealing to the messenger his need to bring himself together and exhibit a beautiful patience. And we will see this in the story of Musa that Allah reveals in the surah. It also lists universal evidences to prove the existence of Allah as the Lord who is alone in his worship. Meaning, if you're an objective human being, you will rationally conclude that these verses are from a Lord and it makes sense to believe in him. It's rational for me to believe in one Allah. Put aside that whether he's from a human being, whether he's a human being and not an angel, or whether he's from you and not from somewhere else. Put all that aside. Listen to the message. The message is very rational. But you have to be objective. You cannot be subjective. You've got to be objective. You've got to be in a situation whereby you are able to listen to the revelation and allow it to guide you. And to do that, you have to get rid of the bias. No biases here. But if you want to engage revelation in a manner that you will funnel it and channel it and bend it to fit a particular narrative, then the revelation won't guide you. It's there to guide, but for those who want to be guided. Now, again, like previous surahs, Allah establishes this in the narrative format, and He also establishes it in the story format. And the story that I want to quickly talk about is not a fiction, not a story of fiction, of course, a real story. When we say story, we don't mean fiction. It's not story time, yani. You know, the story time where we're just telling fictional stories. Real stories, right? The story of Musa, Fir'aun, and Banu Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Let's listen, inshallah.
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ.
And we did certainly send Musa with our signs and clear authority. With our signs, na'am.
إلى فرعون وهامان وقارون فقالوا ساحر كذاب.
To Fir'aun and the people of his inner court, Haman and Qarun. But they said arrogantly, he's a magician and a liar.
فلما جاءهم بالحق من عندنا قالوا اقتلوا أبناء الذين آمنوا معه واستحيوا نساءهم وما كيد الكافرين إلا في ضلال.
So up to now we can see it's the same story, just different actors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving these verses, and immediately he can see that subhanallah, Allah is revealing to me my circumstance, but in the story of Musa. That Musa went through the same thing I'm going through. It's the same story being repeated. It's just different actors. Musa, now Muhammad. Fir'aun, Qarun, Haman. Here we have Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, and the other seniors of the Quraysh. Same story, different actors. But Allah is teaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa's one, but the Fir'aun's version has a nuanced hecticness to it. Allah says, and when He brought them the truth from us, they said, what we will do is kill the sons of those who have believed with him, and let's keep their women alive. The Quraysh were at the stage of beating, that whoever from our tribe accepts Islam, we will beat them publicly, so that anyone else thinking of following Muhammad will become afraid. But Fir'aun and Qarun and Haman, they went a step further. That's it. Let's just kill everyone who believes. And as for the women, keep them alive. We'll enslave them. Keep them alive. Allah says, وَمَا كَيْدُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. But the plan of the disbelievers is not except in error. نعم.
وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهِ إني أخاف أن يبدل دينكم أو أن يظهر في الأرض الفساد.
نعم.
وقال موسى.
No, hold on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Fir'aun said, let me kill Musa and let him call upon his Lord. Look at this level of arrogance. Fir'aun is saying, they saying, خلاص, let's kill all the people who believed with him. And let's keep the women alive. Fir'aun says, one step further. Let me kill Musa and let him call upon his Lord. Indeed, I fear that he will change your religion or that he will cause corruption in the land. Now, what do the scholars of Tafsir say here? This is the evidence that they say Fir'aun deep down knew that this Musa is upon the truth. That he had knowledge of what happened to the previous nations. And that they all received someone who came with a call like what Musa is calling to. But arrogance, subhanAllah, has no boundaries. Let me kill him and let him call his Lord. You want to manifest a pompous character in front of the people. Show them I'm in charge. What he's talking about is fairy tales. I will kill him in front of you and let him call his Lord. Nothing's going to happen. Don't fall for this message. Na'am.
وقال موسى إني عذت بربي وربكم من كل متكبر لا يؤمن بيوم الحساب.
But Musa said, indeed, I have sought refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant one who does not believe in the day of account, meaning the day of judgment. نعم.
وقال رجل مؤمن من آل فرعون يكتم إيمانه أتكتمون رجلا أن يقول أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم.
سبحان الله, in a subtle way Allah is revealing to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that with every difficulty there's two eases. There's eases even amidst the difficulty. Because with Musa alayhi salam, when Fir'aun was manifesting this arrogance, Allah says, and a believing man from the family of Fir'aun, subhanallah, yaktumu imana. He believed but he hid his iman. And some of the scholars of tafsir say he was the one who at the beginning, when Musa, after Musa grew up in the palace of Fir'aun and then he punched a person in defending another person and that person died, he was a Qibti. And the Fir'aun and his army then wanted to go after Musa. A person came to Musa and told Musa that they are grouping to come for you. So you better leave. They say it's the same person. That it was a person who believed that no one from the palace of Fir'aun believed except his wife and this man. Subhanallah, the wife of Fir'aun and this man. So this man speaks up now. All this time, he's hiding his faith. But right now, a grave oppression is going to take place. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the best jihad is speaking justice in front of a tyrant ruler. Why? Because the tyrant ruler will kill you. You're putting your life on the line. But it's the best jihad. And this yesterday I was saying that the word jihad has been confiscated and has been made to be something taboo. But we see this word in the Quran before Allah allowed the Muslims to defend themselves against the attacks of the Quraysh using the term jihad. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the best jihad, not taking out your sword, taking out your arrows, taking out your shield, wearing your armor. No, speaking truth to power is the best jihad. So this person here, he was hiding his iman for a greater benefit. But now keeping your iman hidden was not for the greater benefit. Now you had to speak up. And even though he didn't advertise his iman, he came with the message of common sense. Allah says, and a believing man from the family of Fir'aun who concealed his faith said, are you going to kill a man merely because he says, my Lord is Allah? And this is the same words Abu Bakr used when the Quraysh were attacking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the Kaaba. When he came and saved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a person who says, my Lord is Allah? Subhanallah. That's how close the Quran was to the Sahaba. These are earlier revelations, brothers and sisters. So, Allah says that this is what he said. And then this person said, are you going to kill him merely because he says, my Lord is Allah? Whilst he has brought to you clear proofs from Allah, did Musa come with nothing? Musa came with a staff that turned into what they saw as a moving snake, a moving live being. If you put his arm under his armpit, it would shine. He came with signs. So this person is saying, he's come to you with clear proofs from your Lord. And what do you have to lose? If he is lying, فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ. If he is lying, then upon him is the consequence of his lie. But if he is telling the truth, they will strike you some of what he promises you. He's telling you, consequences are going to come. If he's telling the truth, some of it's going to come. And indeed, Allah does not guide one who is a transgressor and a liar. Subhanallah. Na'am. Ya Qawm.
Ya Qawm, lakumul mulku al-yawma zahirin fil-ard. فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا.
He said, oh my people, sovereignty is yours today. You're being dominant in the land. But who would protect us from the punishment of Allah if it came to us? What did Fir'aun say? Na'am.
قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ.
He said, Fir'aun said, I do not show you except what I see. And I do not guide you except to the way of right conduct. This is what people who spread corruption in the land do. They spread corruption on the land and they say, no, we muslihun. We only, we are liberators. Yeah? We are here to take mankind forward. We are progressive. I shared these lines with you previously from Surah Al-Baqarah. This is what they do. This is, subhanAllah, cognitive dissonance. This could be a lot of things. There's psychology to this, subhanAllah. Na'am.
وقال الذي آمن يا قوم إني أخاف عليكم مثل يوم الأحزاب.
And the one who believed said, oh my people, indeed I fear for you a fate like the day of the companies, the Ahzab, the people of who? نعم. مثل دأبي
قوم نوح.
Like the people of Nuh.
وعاد وثمود والذين من بعدهم.
And عاد and ثمود and those who came after them.
وما الله يريد ظلما للعباد.
And Allah wants no injustice for His servants. نعم. ويا قومي.
ويا قومي إني أخاف عليكم يوم التناد.
And oh my people, indeed I fear for you the day of calling. التناد here refers to يوم القيامة. The day of Qiyamah. نعم.
يوم تولون مدبرين ما لكم من الله من عاصم ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد.
The day you will turn your backs fleeing, there is not for you from Allah any protector, and whoever Allah leaves astray, there is not for him any guide. May Allah protect us from the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. وقال فرعون يا هامان. Let's see. So all this is happening, but look at Fir'aun. Is he getting guided or is he becoming worse in his arrogance? What does he say? وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ
وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ بْنِ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابَ.
Fir'aun said, oh Haman, construct for me a tall tower that I might climb it and reach the ways of the heavens to go and see. أسباب السماوات.
أسباب السماوات فأطلع إلى إله موسى.
So I can go into the heavens so that I may look at this deity of Musa. This deity is talking about, build me the tower, let me go and have a look for myself. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, when he is being drowned and Jibreel is dealing with him and the angel of death is dealing with him and the water is being poured down his throat, it's for a reason. And at that time he says, Al-an, now I believe. Now I believe. He says, I believed. He says, I believe in the Lord of Musa. Allah says, Al-an, waqad asayta min qabl. Now you believe, but before, this is what you were doing. When we gave you the chance, this is what you were doing. Message after message, reminder after reminder, miracle after miracle. We gave you time. It wasn't the case that Musa came and the next day the punishment came down. You continued in your arrogance to the extent, build me a tower. You ridiculing Musa in front of the people. Build me a tower so I can go see this madman what he's talking about. I'll go see it myself. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. نعم.
وإني لأظنه كاذبا.
He says, I feel he's a liar.
وكذلك زين لفرعون سوء عمله وصد عن السبيل وما كيد فرعون إلا في تباب.
نعم. The way of Fir'aun was nothing but in ruin. وقال الذي آمن.
وقال الذي آمن يا قوم اتبعون أهديكم سبيل الرشاد.
And the one who believed said, oh my people, follow me, I will guide you to the way of righteous conduct. يا قومي.
يا قوم إنما هذه الحياة الدنيا متاع وإن الآخرة هي دار القرار.
Oh my people, the worldly life is only temporary enjoyment, and indeed the hereafter, that is the home of permanent settlement. I will leave you to read the remaining ayat from this. But this message is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah is teaching him that not only did Musa share the message, but even a person from within Fir'aun's own family is sharing the same message. Telling the people, put your trust in the hereafter, not the dunya. Look at the permanent, not the temporary. And the way of the arrogant is known. O Messenger of Allah, remain upon your way. O believer, remain upon your way. O Muslim, remain upon your way. Everybody will make you feel backward. A time will come where you holding on to your religion will be like holding on to burning coal, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. It will be so difficult. But the verses are training you that whatever happens, die a Muslim. May Allah make us die as believers.
and our children and progeny. Whatever happens, just die a Muslim. Whatever happens, make sure you don't break, leave the rope of Allah. This is the message throughout the Quran. And then Allah takes us to Surah Fussilat. Meccan verse again. Like I said, wallahi, dosages of Meccan verses, they're very potent in dealing with doubts. Huh? You need, they say sometimes you need steroids. Doctors. Tayyib. There's so many noticeable verses first. But because of time, I'm going to just go through them quickly. I know we have work tomorrow as well. But we won't get these verses for another year. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And that was your assumption which you assumed about your Lord. It has brought you to ruin and you have become amongst the losers. Imam Hassan al-Basri was asked about this verse. And he said, some people of worship, they don't worship Allah. They worship wishful thinking. To the extent that they leave this world without one good deed. What do they say? They say, have good thoughts about Allah. Everything's in my heart. You can't see what's in my heart. You call them to some guidance, brother, don't judge me. Huh? Have good thoughts about Allah. I have good thoughts about Allah. Remember we said, if you flap the wing of hope without the wing of fear, what's going to happen to the dove? It's going to crash. Imam Hassan al-Basri, explaining this verse in the Quran, he said, if these people really had good thoughts about Allah, they would have worshipped Allah with actions, not with their heart. That having good thoughts about Allah is putting into practice what the messenger came to you with. Putting into practice what Allah commanded you to do. This is what having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Number two. Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And this is good for the day of Eid that's coming. Because sometimes we have families, subhanAllah, that are at war with each other, and Eids come and go, and they still don't even talk to each other, they don't even greet each other, they don't even respond to the salam of each other. Or they choose to be with each other in a very petty way. If you scratch my back, I will scratch your back. If you did this for my family, I will do this for your family. It's transactionary. And this is not the way with the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to an enemy, that you need to respond to the harm, you need to repel the evil with a deed which is better. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Continue repelling the evil with goodness. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. Allah says, thereupon the one whom between you and him is enmity, that enmity will turn into friendship and you'll become devoted friends again. But Allah tells us this is not easy. He says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. No one can do this except the one who is patient. That you can be patient with your nafs. You know what happens when you want to respond nicely? The nafs tells you, no. People will say you're weak. People will say, you see, you were wrong, they were right. That's what the people will say. The people will say, you're weak. Look, this person kicks you and you run where you get kicks. Have you heard that one? Every time you get kicks, that's where you run. That's what the people will say. You need patience to fight that ego. There's ego. You need patience to fight the whispers of the people. You need patience to fight the whispers of shaitan. To do the right thing because it's right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. That only the fortunate, blessed one can achieve this, converting enemies into friends. And this was the mandate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many hated him, subhanAllah, but they became his best and closest. He was became the most beloved to them. What they did against Islam, they did for Islam. Whilst he was alive and after he passed away, Khalid ibn Walid, who orchestrated the turnaround of events at Uhud, he was instrumental, subhanAllah, towards the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and throughout the life of Abu Bakr. And even in the life of Umar, even after Umar took him out of leading the army and replaced him with Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the Amin of this Ummah, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. This is the reality of the deen. So I want to share with you this message. Last but not least, and I know it's late, but we are going to go into the last third of the night and you need to go with this verse. Subhanallah, the verse of istiqamah in Surah Al-Fussilat. Istiqamah, my dear brother and sister in Islam, is very, very hard. Steadfastness is very, very hard. Why? Because it's an everyday matter. And it's an every night matter. It needs from you juhud and effort. It needs from you to spend a bit of yourself, to give up parts of yourself. But because it's so hard, Allah makes the reward worth it. Because Allah created us, and there's this universal principle that governs this world. Reward is proportionate to effort. If the effort is hard, we need a reward that is worth the effort. I mean, if I told you all here, who from here can walk all the way to London in the middle of winter for £1,000? Just walk, £1,000. I'll give you £1,000. You get to London, but you have to walk there. Anybody? £1,000. One guy. MashaAllah. Two. This is masjid donations, by the way. Hands are going up. MashaAllah. £1,000. They say money has relative value. Only time has absolute value. £1,000 can be little for the majority, but it's a lot for a few. Yeah, he's willing to go to walking to London in the middle of winter. MashaAllah. Okay, 1,000 is not, mashallah, tickling you guys. £10,000. Put up your hands. £10,000. MashaAllah. More hands are going up. A few more hands. £100,000. Yallah. Wallah, mashallah. Even some of the adults are raising their hands. 100,000, huh? Life is hard, huh? All right, £10 million, last offer. Masha, double, two hands. You see what happens, guys? You see, Dr. Saeed, this is how you do a fundraiser, Habibi. 27th of night. Allah bless you. Now I'm putting myself in a difficult spot. You see, look how the hands are going up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be people of istiqamah, but He knows the task might set us back. So He reveals in Surah Fussilat that which will pick us up. And remember, Meccan verse, Muslims are going through the grind. They're going through the grind. They're being sanctioned for 3 years in a valley. No food, no water, no drink, no trade, no medicine. The milk in the chest of mothers is drying up. Babies are crying. They're going through the grind only for La ilaha illallah. Allah reveals. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا Allah says, indeed those who say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ Our Lord is Allah. Those who say our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا And then they walk the talk. I'm going to try and use language that's good for the Shabab. They walk the talk. They said their Lord is Allah. And they started acting like their Lord is Allah. They started speaking like their Lord is Allah. None of the swearing that we see going around here. What's up, guys? The schools and buses and parks and kids swearing like it's fashion. This is not from Iman and Islam. So you said your Lord is Allah. You started speaking like your Lord is Allah. You started acting like your Lord is Allah. You started eating like your Lord is Allah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that on the most scariest day of your life, the most scariest part of your existence, when no one can help you and you need all the help you can get, for the people of istiqamah, help will come. When is the scariest day? When you are sat in a gathering and suddenly you see from the creation of Allah that which you used to hear about from the mimbar or in a lecture. And you will look around you and see everyone is carrying on normally. He's eating his sandwich. He's drinking his mint tea. He's carrying on with his work. Everyone's carrying on. But you suddenly are filled with fear. Why? Because Allah has lifted the veil. Because your time to die has arrived. So you can see something that no one else can see. That's a scary moment. And then you will start experiencing the reality that you are owned. When you feel life being sucked out from you and you have no ability to pull it back up. Subhanallah. How scary will that be? Because Allah will give the angel of death the permission and He will call the soul out, and that soul that we spoke about will start leaving. And you will see yourself slowly but surely becoming lifeless. Now, my dear brother and sister in Islam, is this a happy moment or a scary moment? What would you pay to receive happiness at this time? You'd pay everything, I imagine. You'd give your family, your home, your wealth. You'll give everything. What would you pay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the rewards of the people of Istiqamah. Listen to this. Allah says,
تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم.
والله, if you are in a sanctioned valley for 3 years, going through the hell of existence, and these verses come to you, subhanallah, you receive motivation to last. Allah says, at the time that I described to you when all this is happening, for the people of Istiqamah, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, Allah will send angels in droves from heaven to surround the body, your body. They will come and surround your body in wait for the soul to be removed out. O servants of Allah, what would you pay to see angels from Jannah around you at that moment? That alhamdulillah, subhanallah, scary, but and Allah says tatanazzal, present tense, meaning these angels will come in droves. And the scholars of hadith and tafsir, those who explained the hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, because we have a long hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that describes the death of a believer and a disbeliever, they say that these angels come and they settle a row after a row, a row after a row, until there's no space between the dying person and the first heaven. They fill the atmosphere with the fragrance of Jannah in their presence, with the permission of Allah to receive the soul of this person. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, when the soul comes out, the angels from Jannah immediately take it from the angel of death. They do not leave it in his hand for a mere split second. That's how excited they are to receive the soul. And then the soul is transferred between the rows of angels. Just like, I imagine, you know, a football match when you win the Premier League or something. You see they carry the manager and they're transferring the manager. You know, when you see that. The soul is being transferred. Every angel is trying to touch it. Every angel wants to be part of the celebration. And like this, the soul goes higher and higher and higher until it gets to the first heaven and awaits permission to enter, until the body is buried before Allah sends it back to the body. But that's a discussion for another day. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, gift number one for the people of Istiqamah. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Subhanallah. When I was reading these verses, I was thinking, what life moment can I connect to this that brought me great fear, and I would have loved to receive something to breathe with at that moment. And I could only think about GCSEs, forgive me. GCSEs, I mean, not now, now it's easier, but back in the day, subhanAllah, the stress of GCSEs was hectic. We were always told that this is the yardstick between being a sweeper and a doctor. This is how we were brought up. Mental health wasn't a thing when we were growing up, young boys and girls. Our parents just told us as it is. So as we were getting towards GCSEs, we were thinking, subhanAllah, this is make or break. This is me, whether I'm going to be in that dream car I have, and when we're teenagers, we have a lot of dream cars, huh? Or whether I'm going to be driving somebody else's dream car. Lots of stress. And then you go through the grind of exam after exam after exam, which lasts across 3 months sometimes, or 2 months. Depends when the schedule is, how many subjects you're taking, and when the timetable caters for your subjects. And then it finishes, subhanAllah, and you feel elation, but not complete elation, because you know one day you're going to be told that the results are out, and it would happen. One day you're nicely resting and your parents come to you with the newspaper. Where I was growing up, when the results came out, it would be the front page of the newspaper. GCSE results are out. We used to do O-levels. I didn't grow up in the UK. O-levels is similar to GCSEs, but it's the Cambridge curriculum. Similar. Subhanallah, you see this newspaper, all of a sudden you feel stress overcome you. Your bright face from all the playing becomes dark. Because now you have to go into, and before you didn't go to
a computer screen, put in the code. I don't know how it is now. Back then, we had to go to an exam center, stand in a queue. And honestly, you're standing in that queue, and it feels like, is this the day of Qiyamah on earth? Really? You're sweating. Everyone is sweating. Nobody cares about anybody. Nobody cares whose clothes is ironed, not ironed, who's wearing clothes from last year. Nobody cares. Everybody is in their own worry. I remember this. This is how it was. You're standing, and all you are, you're a number amongst many numbers. Now, the person in front of you goes in. He comes out crying. You say, Ya Allah, save me from being that person, Ya Allah. The other one comes out smiling. You say, Inshallah. But it makes you more nervous that he won. What about my parents will say, how did he get those results? You didn't guess. This is life, ya akhi, when you're growing up, huh? Now, I'm thinking to myself, at that moment, when I was in that line, it would have meant everything to me if someone came out of that exam room, walked up to me, saw me sweating, and said to me in my ear, don't worry, you've passed. Shh, don't worry. It's all good. I've seen your results. You're okay. Wallahi, if somebody did that to me at that moment, I'd be like, Alhamdulillah. Let's see who we have here now. Look at the people. Huh? All the stress is gone. You have time to live life a little bit. You are existing, now you start living. Allah is giving you this opportunity. The opportunity of angels coming to you and saying, Allah takhafu. The angels will tell the dying person, do not fear. Wala tahzanu, do not be sad. Wala tahzanu, do not be sad. This is what's happening effectively. And I was thinking about this, wala tahzanu, this is also in the present tense. What did we say about the present tense? It's always continuous. And then I was thinking to myself, subhanallah, you know, even happiness has levels. And in between the levels of happiness, you have sadness, not so? I mean, if I told you guys now, guys, I give you two options. You can win one of two holidays. One in the Maldives and one in the Lake District. Why are you laughing? Akhi, Lake District's nice. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Lake District's good, man, come on. Tayyib, would you be happy going to Lake District? Yes. Yes. Who wouldn't be? Free holiday, come on. Would you be happy going to Maldives? No? Okay, you're out of the equation. You're out of the equation, Habibi. You haven't tasted life. When you taste it, you'll change your answer. It might be too late then, but we give you time. Now, going to Lake District makes you happy, right? But Maldives makes you happier, correct? Between happy and happier, isn't there a portion of sadness? Imagine I called you up after 1 month and you were excited. And I called you up and said, MashaAllah, congratulations, brother. You won a trip to Lake District. Would you be happy or sad? Sad. So between happy and happy, there's happier, there's a piece of sadness, not so? Are you with me? Allah says, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, in the present tense. Meaning, you will never, ever, ever, ever be sad. And I can only deduce from this, that the place that you'll be going to is a place where the happy moment you feel now is very happy, but the next moment will be happier than the last happy. And the moment after that will be happier than the last happy. And the moment after that will be happier than the last happy. It can only be, because if it was any less happy, then you'd be sad. And Allah is saying, La tahzanu, there's no sadness where you're going. Subhanallah. I'm digressing, but I want you to really appreciate these verses, wallah. Okay. So Allah sends you angels from Jannah. If you're a people of istiqamah, wouldn't this be enough for you? Of course you'd say yes. Okay, the angels tell you, don't be afraid. Subhanallah, bonus. وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا, you'll never ever be sad. Bonus. Now imagine you in the queue, you got your results. What's the next thing you're going to think about? The person didn't tell you whether you got A's or B's, he just said you passed. Huh? So what's the next thing you think about now? How well did I pass? Did I get A stars? Or is it numbers now? Nines, eights? That's what you start thinking. Allah tells the angels to tell the dying person, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Allah has promised you the Jannah. Allah has given you the Jannah that He promised you. You're worrying about results, which school you're going to go to. That school needed so many nines, that school needed so many eights. Don't even think about that. Allah told us to tell you the Jannah that He promised you, that's the Jannah He's given you. The Jannah you are working for, that's the Jannah He has given you. Subhanallah. Okay, what's the next thing you think about? Maybe you feel a bit sad. I'm leaving my family. In the dunya, whenever we travel to a new place, sometimes you feel butterflies in your stomach. It's natural. You go to a place, maybe people scare you about this place.
You're on a charity mission, for example. You're going to a place that doesn't have the facilities and the amenities. You have, literally, you have butterflies in your stomach. What do you do to deal with those butterflies? You call a friend, a buddy. Call him up, right? Someone who doesn't have a vision, who's just there, always available. No. And you call someone up, you say, brother, what are you doing? I say, I'm doing nothing. Do you want a free holiday? I'll pay for you. I'm going to this place. Come with me. He goes, well, if you're paying, why not? Alhamdulillah. So what happens when he says yes? The butterflies go away because now you're traveling together, isn't it? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this. Don't travel by yourself. Travel in pairs. Travel in threes and appoint an amir. It's from the guidance of the Sharia. Allah doesn't want this person of istiqamah to feel any sadness. Allah tells the angels to tell the dying person, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We were your buddies and helpers and protectors in the life of this world, and we are traveling with you to the hereafter. You just didn't know. You're going with your buddies, you're not going alone. And also, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. In the world that we're taking you from, you used to ask people for things, and they never used to give you. Where are you going to? You just desire and Allah will give you. You don't even have to speak. Just desire it in your heart and Allah will give it to you. But look how merciful Allah is. The human being might be at that moment thinking, wow, a perpetual life of just desiring. What if my desires dry up? What if my desires dry up? Allah calms that fear for you as well. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. If your desires dry up, don't worry. Just speak and Allah will give you again. Talk and Allah will give you again. My brother and sister in Islam, this is the prizes for the people of istiqamah. But guess what? There's more. And I only learned about there being more from the word after this. Allah went into detail. Angels coming down from Jannah, giving you the glad tidings. Don't be afraid. Don't be sad. Allah's given you the Jannah He promised you. We are your buddies when we are traveling with you. And you're going to a place where you'll have everything you desire and everything you ask for. Then Allah says, Nuzula. La ilaha illallah. Honestly, you know, these are verses you need to be sitting on a recliner with Moroccan mint tea. Huh? And you read them, subhanAllah. Honestly, it's just therapeutic. Because subhanAllah, when I learned the word nuzula, it just knocked me out. You know what nuzul is? Nuzul is what we give someone who's traveled to us from a long, 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 long origin. They had traveled hours to get to us. They landed in Heathrow, not Manchester, after that. And then had to drive all the way through the M6 and all the traffic that we see. And they got to us tired. And they finally got to our door. Maybe just over 24 hours since they started their journey. We opened the door to welcome them. Do we take them and put them on the dining table straight away? Or do we take them and sit them in our lounge first? And we give them some tea, some water, some coffee, some dates, some biscuits, some sweets, depending on your culture. What do you do? You consider it bad manners to just take them and put them on the banquet table. Let them catch their breath, freshen up, right? This is nuzul. Nuzul refers to the welcoming, the starter. Allah is saying all these gifts we prepared for the people of istiqamah when they die, this is just the starter. This is the nuzul. What is the actual prize here? Allah doesn't tell us. Allah says, I've told you how good the starter is. You can go imagine how great the main prize is for the people of istiqamah. Now as we sit here and go into this 23rd night, and inshallah it's Laylatul Qadr, Ya Rab, after this ayah, may it be Laylatul Qadr. After we sat and learned this ayah together, what an honor it is that in the month of Al-Quran, and in one of the nights that the Quran was revealed, we can celebrate the Quran with this verse in Surah Fussilat. If it's Laylatul Qadr, may Allah make us from those who witnessed it. Ameen. As we sit and study this verse, and you have, I'm sure, this thought in your mind. I had this thought as well. Who can die this death, Ya Allah? Subhanallah. Hey Allah, can I die this death? This death has to be the death of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. That this death has to be the death of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. I don't think I could die this death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give me a sign. Teach me, Ya Allah. Can I die this death?
And the long and short, my dear brother and sister in Islam, in the very same verse, Allah teaches us that we can die this death. You know where I found it in? In the same verse. In the words after nuzul, what does Allah say? Nuzula min ghafurir rahim. A welcoming, Allah could have said, a welcoming from the Lord of the worlds. A welcoming from the all-wise. A welcoming from the one who is upon all able. But Allah doesn't say this. He says, a welcoming from the most forgiving, the most merciful. Subhanallah. Why, ya Allah, the most forgiving, the most merciful? To teach you and me, the reader of the Quran, that the people who died this death were people like us. We had good days, and when we had good days, we thanked Allah for them. And then we had bad days, and when we had bad days, we turned to Allah and we said, ya Allah, forgive us for the bad day that we've had and help us tomorrow, ya Allah. This is istiqamah, that you try your best. But when you slip, you don't sleep like you had a good day. You make sure before you sleep, you turn to Allah and you engage Him sincerely. And you show Allah that you know you had a bad day with Him. With regards to His laws, with regards to His mission, with regards to His instruction. And you seek forgiveness, but you don't go to sleep in a state of loss and depression. You seek forgiveness and sleep with hope that tomorrow, inshallah, I will chase the ideals that Allah has revealed in a better way, inshallah. This is the way of istiqamah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is the rewards for the people of istiqamah. Every day, a lifelong worth of effort. But the reward is not proportionate to the effort. It's greater than the effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of istiqamah. And the people of Surah Fussilat. And Surah Ghafir. And Surah Zumar. The Zumar, the groups that will be driven to Jannah. Jannah driven with the letter Waw. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah forgive our past, inspire our futures. Reward you all for your patience sitting here. Wallahi, I know we went longer because the tafsir happened after a fundraiser as well. But it's all good. These are moments of Allah on earth. And moments with Allah on earth. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. May Allah bring these moments to us in a recurring matter, that perhaps one day we will meet in Jannah. And we will say, MashaAllah, brother, Allahu Akbar, you made it, we made it, MashaAllah, what brought you here? And he might say, you know what, SubhanAllah, it was that one sitting in the dunya, 23rd night of Ramadan, 1445 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learned from the Quran, and the barakah of that session changed my life, changed our lives, and Allah brought us together, maybe, and it will absolutely be worth it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Laylatul Qadr, accept our Ramadan, make us from the family of Al-Quran. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu fiikum.